You can be opening to John 14. Still going to continue on with the review of the face-to-face documents 10 years later. Have y'all been enjoying that series at all? Yeah, I bet you have. Wednesday night was kind of brutal for me, you know, but that's okay. You know, people get the idea because a lot of times what comes forth from pulpits, all you hear about is the success part. You don't ever hear a lot of times about all the, you know, you fell 17 times before you hit that success. And so people get the idea because they stumble. And they don't realize that the ones teaching stumble too. So they think, well, you know, God can't use me. I'm a worm. I'm a slime. I'm a dog, you know. And that's just exactly what the devil wants you to think. Because the truth of the matter is, of course, if y'all deny this, if y'all repeat it, ministers are people too.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Who would have thought such a thing? That's right. We're all on a path of transformation. And people can really learn as much from your mistake, especially if they keep from making the same mistake. Okay? Well, we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit, and we don't have as much time on Sunday night, so talking about His leadership. So John 14, again, and it'll be virtually no review tonight, okay, except to say this. This whole passage here is where Jesus is telling the 12, the cross is the next thing that happens. I mean, He's on, you know, this is right before the cross. They've been following Him for 3.5 years. Now He's leaving. He's plainly telling them, I'm leaving the planet. I'm going to go be with the Father. So what would your question be? Well, is it over? You're not going to be Lord anymore? Their first question was, can we follow you? Well, no, you can't follow me now, but you will follow me later. Well, if you're leaving the planet and we can't follow you, how in the world can you still be our Lord? Well, Jesus begins to explain to them here how that's going to happen. By introducing to them the Holy Spirit. So in John 14, starting in verse 16, He says, I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees Him not, neither knows Him, but you know Him. For He dwells with you and shall be in you. Now He keeps going on quite a bit. Now hold your place there. Go over to John 16:13. You've got to get this part. He says, howbeit when He, notice that personal pronoun. The Holy Spirit is not a force. The Holy Spirit is not a thing. The Holy Spirit is a person. Now He is God, but He is a person. Like three members of the Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. But notice how Jesus refers to Him as He. He is a specific, He is another individual from Jesus. Okay? Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. Now, if I backed up, really ought to back up one verse. Look at verse 12. It says, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Now, I've been trying to say this for the last two services that I did. I'm going to try it one more time. So that you get the significance of this. Those of you that are still struggling with the idea that those of you that still have any hope that you can make it without the Holy Ghost. let me explain to you what He's saying here. Now, if you had been, let's just take Peter, okay? 3.5 years, you've been here, you've heard every message that Jesus preached. You have traveled with Him. So in the evenings around the campfire in between cities, you can ask what those parables mean if you didn't understand it, and He can explain to you what they mean. So they have heard not only the things that were taught to the public done in parables, trying to relate spiritual things to people that are not yet born again. So Jesus, I'm sure He broke it down. That's why He used parables a lot, trying to teach earthly things with natural examples that man can relate to. Well, the sower sows the word. Well, it's like this or it's like that. You know, it's like a ear of corn. You know, He's trying to get it down. But you've been listening for 3.5 years. You'd think, you know, after 3.5 years, that's almost a college education. You know, you think about 4 years for a Bachelor of Science degree, you know. And yet Jesus, now He's fixing to leave and you've learned all this. And He says, looks you right in the eye and says, boy, I got a lot of things I'd like to tell you. Now, I don't know about you, but if I'm Peter, I'm going, say on, Master, say on. Tell me. He says, but I can't. I can't. And I go, yeah, you can. Wouldn't you? Yeah, go ahead and tell me. He says, no, you have no capacity to bear them. And I think Dave did the best illustration of that, and I don't have time to, we're just going to do things quickly here now. See, it's like Cole Matthew. Everyone, y'all know Cole. He just had his fifth birthday. He's a good boy, you know. He's got all of his fingers, all of his toes. He's mentally sharp and everything. And he's a good boy. And I could give him the keys to my town car out there. And I could say, I want you to run down to the Quick Trip. He knows where the Quick Trip is. He knows what it is. I want you to run down to the Quick Trip, take the car, run down to the Quick Trip, get a jug of milk, bring it back for Mimi. Did he understand the words I said?
Yeah.
He goes out to the car, pulls his little, if he can open the door. My town car door is pretty heavy. Open the door, get in there and sit down. His legs won't even near reach the gas accelerator. If he was to scoot down there where he could reach the gas accelerator, can't see out the windshield. He has no, it's not that he didn't hear the words. He has no capacity to live what was spoken. Did you get that? He had no capacity to live it. No capacity to bear it. And that's why 1 Corinthians 2 says, now brethren, we received not the spirit of the world. What is that? That's that Adamic nature when you was born of your mother's womb. When you was born the first time, we don't have that spirit anymore. Now we have the spirit, little s, which is of God. Why? That we can know the things that are given to us of God. That's your inheritance. That's everything we're trying to walk in. And he plainly tells you in that chapter, he says the natural man can't receive these things. It's impossible. He can try and try. It's impossible. Why? Because these things are spiritually discerned. All right? Now, here's the part I haven't said for the last two times, and I usually go on from right here. Now, dear heart, I don't really need to pray in tongues. I mean, I pray a little bit, Brother Gary, but I'm pretty sharp. I can make it. I can do it. Really? Well, those things right there that he says, I have many things to say unto you, but you're not able to bear them now. That means you can memorize Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and what he's talking about is not in there. Real quiet in here now. Do you ever think about that? The things he's talking about, the things that he'd like to reveal to you, you could memorize all the red letters in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They're not in there. You're going to get them from the Holy Ghost, or you're not going to get them. Now, you can get part of it because Paul, in that same passage over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, says, now he says, really, that whole chapter, he says, now to you, you carnal, split, divided, baby bottle, thumb-sucking bunch. You know, that's what he says, 1 Corinthians 3. He says, I can't give you any meat. All I can do is give you milk. And he plainly says, when I came, all I could do is preach to you Christ and Him crucified. That's the only message for the unbeliever. There's no point trying. See, my whole ministry as a teacher, if you fill the place up with sinners here, I've only got one message. There's only one message for them, and that's Christ and Him crucified. Because the deeper things, anything else of God, you've got to have a spirit which is of God to even have a capacity to understand it. You know? Well, what he's talking about there, but in that same passage, Paul says, now we're teaching, all right? He says, among the mature now, I have more than just Christ and Him crucified. And I teach those things among those that are more mature. But he says, the things I teach are the things which the Holy Ghost teaches. That's why Paul says, I thank my God. I speak with tongues more than you all. Well, it was during that period of time, all that, his private prayer life, where he's speaking in other tongues, and the mysteries of the mind of Christ, and the whole mysteries of the gospel, which is Christ in you, your hope of glory, all of that was revealed to Paul during his time of praying in tongues, just like it's revealed to you. Those things that Jesus, he'd walk right up and he'd go, I'd have a lot of things I'd like to tell you. I always pick it on her because she sits right here. He says, I have a lot of things I'd like to tell you. And you're going, I have a lot of things I'd like to know. He says, trouble is, that's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And I gave you a language where you can communicate with him. You're not even limited by your intellect, not that he would be. He says, because the Holy Spirit, he'll make intercession. He'll be explaining these things according to the mind of Christ. According to the mind of Christ. So you'll not only be understanding revelation knowledge, you'll find out what your calling is. You'll find out how to step into your calling. People are all the time trying to get with Sue and I, and you know, we don't mind a little fellowship, but we can't get with everybody all the time. They're always, really what they're after, they're wanting mentoring. You know, and tell us again, how did you do it? Well, it won't help you for you to hear how God had me do it. What you need to do is go pray until you find out how He wants you to do it. See? My plan won't work for you. Are you kidding? Jimmy Miller, if he was sitting right here, I'd tell the same story. Most of y'all know Jimmy and Deborah Miller. They missionaried in Poland for years, and we got to go over there and stay with them about 2 weeks and preached all over Poland. It was wonderful. But, you know, after he's over there a little bit, and Jimmy and I had a little alone time, he says, Gary, I need to talk to you about our ministry finances. He says, you have a lot to say about ministry finances? He says, we ain't got none. You know? In other words, it was bad. You know, and of course, you're living in another country. Everything's expensive, you know. So, well, what are you doing? Well, long story short, even though you hear me say all the time on those tapes, all the time I say, don't do what Sue and I did. Don't give away your stuff free. Don't not let anybody. I always say, don't do what we did, except the part about go pray and find out what He wants you to do. Well, even though I say that, Jimmy so admired the character, I guess, or the, you know what we did? He did it anyway. So here he goes, giving away everything free. Not going to let another person ever know of any need we ever have, ministry or otherwise. Well, things got worse and worse, you know. I said, Jimmy, now at this point we had been doing this for a while. We started all this. The ministry started in 1996 and we went over there in 2003. So we've been at this a while, okay. And I said, Jimmy, I didn't know why in the beginning the Lord had us do it the way that He did it. But I've been doing this for years now, and I can kind of understand what the Lord had in mind. I can see now the results. Look, Jimmy, the way He has us operate, and especially then, it's not that way so much now, but then everything was cassette tape. Everything we sent was cassette tape. And the Lord told us to do them excellently, print them, put them in nice vinyl covers, make... You know, we didn't hire any fancy artwork, but they were all nicely printed and everything. And send it like that. Because He says, I want those that can't afford them to have something as nice as those that can afford them. See what I'm saying? Now, everybody could afford ours, they're free. But He didn't want them, what they received, to make them feel lower class. So we did it as nicely as we could. I said, Jimmy, after being in this for years now and seeing what's going on, yeah, tell Jimmy I'm really sorry that I'm using him as an example. You know? It's okay. That's Jimmy. He's upset. No. I said, Jimmy, we've been doing this for years now, and I can see what's going on with our ministry. Every month we're sending out thousands of these cassette tapes, either individual tape or an album. You know, at least it gives people, they get a nice thing in the mail. Ooh, something from Gary and Sue. They open up the package. Ooh, this is nice. Man, I've been wanting to hear these tapes. This is really good. Man, this is well done. Wonder what it costs to make this. Maybe we ought to pray about helping with this. You know? And I said, not all of them did. We had people that we sent tapes to for years and have never, as far as I know, they all went in the trash. I don't know anything. I don't, you know, they never send a nickel. Others, it would at least, here's what I told Jimmy. I said, at least it would give the Lord an opportunity there to deal with their heart. I said, Jimmy, you are tucked away in another little country. Nobody knows where you are. Nobody knows what you're doing. You know, if they knew what you're doing, it would give the Lord an opportunity to say, man, this is a good thing. You ought to, because he was at the time, he was getting Dave's book translated into Polish. Did you know he was also having about four of Dad Hagen's books translated into Polish? Two of T.L. Osborne's and a couple of others. They had no language. Most people in Poland do not speak English. You know, it's got to be in their language. Well, Jimmy was, his assignment from the Lord was to get that done. So here he is on a major mission from God. Plus, he's trying to get all these churches involved in the message, praying in other tongues. And at that, when he first went over there, these little pastors were just scattered all over. You know, nobody knew even that there was another similar like-minded church, you know, 35 miles away. Mm-hmm. Well, they wound up networking a group of 500 churches while they were there.
Yep.
Pioneered it all from nothing. Mm-hmm. And here they are, you know, starving all. Well, not really starving, but you know, the ministry was starving for funds. I said, Jimmy, now I told you don't do that. I said, nobody knows where you are. I said, there's nothing wrong with let people know what you are doing. At least, I mean, just don't promise them stuff that ain't true. Don't tell them, if you give, God's going to give back unto you 100-fold. I heard the latest in Lakeland was 1,000-fold.
Yeah.
Who knew? God loved that one best. 1,000-fold, like 100-fold wouldn't be enough. You know, I said, just don't promise people stuff that ain't true. But I said, it's not wrong to let people know what you're doing and say, if you'd like to help us, here's our mailing address, you know, and give the Holy Spirit an opportunity. But I said, the way you've got it right now, these people are going to have to pray in tongues until they hear something in the Spirit. Thou shalt support Jimmy and Deborah. Jimmy and Deborah who? Jimmy and Deborah Miller. Pray, pray, pray. Well, where do they live? Kansas? You know? Keep Poland. I said, Jimmy, come on. You're in a whole different ministry. Yes, sir. I'll tell this one. Now, I was listening yesterday. I'll go ahead and tell you who it is. He's pretty famous anyway, if I can get his name right. Peter Daniels. Y'all ever know who Peter Daniels is? Christian businessman. He's Australian. Very famous. He has given away more money to missions work and missionaries than most people will earn in their whole lifetime. Millions upon millions upon millions. And he's got a good testimony. And he started off as an uneducated bricklayer. No education, not even grade school. Okay? So I'm kept wondering. Now, you know, he tells about the change in his life. And of course, today he's 73. He's very fit as a fiddle. He's Australian now, and you know how they talk. He said he's praying for us because he has trouble understanding our accent. I like this guy. You know, I'm listening to him. So I'm going, now, what happened to go from an uneducated, ignorant bricklayer to a guy who runs multi-million dollar corporations around the world and gives millions, hundreds of millions, into the gospel? Come to find out. You know how he got saved? Billy Graham. One of those Billy Graham crusades way back there, 40-some-odd, almost 50 years ago. Billy Graham crusade. Now, Billy Graham, see, it all depends on the ministry. We were told, don't be, you know, really pushing the ministry. Don't be self-promoting. Is that okay? Don't be calling around and trying to book meetings and all that kind of stuff. He was supposed to call around. Billy Graham, the way God used Billy Graham, he was supposed to book meetings and promote that thing and get it out there in every way possible. And I mean, they had to fight all kinds of obstacles. I remember in the Deep South, when he started having those meetings in the South, he didn't want any of his meetings to be segregated. He had all kinds of trouble with that. And they had to have police there watching the doors and you know, to keep people from coming in to shoot him. Because he says, no, we will not have a white section and a black section. We're going to have everybody together. Well, that was back when that was not popular. It's still not real popular in some parts of the South. But in Mississippi, for crying out loud. You know? So his instructions were completely different. I look back on it now, 10 years later, and I know why God did what we did. You got to understand, in those early days, I pretty well had just one. He was just letting me preach one thing. It was kingdom finances. And he was having me come against all the counterfeit doctrines. Well, things like, you're not under the law to tithe. Now, if I'm trying to establish our ministry by going to the top, the pastors of all these churches, you ought to let me come and dismantle all of your teaching. Because they're teaching the 100-fold return. They're teaching all of this stuff, you know. And my job in the body of Christ was to dismantle all that stuff. Yeah, you ought to let me come and dismantle all of your teaching on kingdom finances. You think that would have worked? No, it wouldn't work. God understood it. I mean, I didn't even understand this then. I just knew what He said. It would never have worked for me to try and promote our ministry going to the top, coming down, going to the pastors. No, what we had to do was send it out grassroots to the people and let it come from the bottom up.
Amen.
See? I see it real clear now. I didn't understand that all then. That's why it had to be that way. It had to be that way. Well, Billy Graham, thank God that he promoted his ministry. He did exactly the opposite of what we did, and he was supposed to do exactly. I think about how many Peter Daniels, if he wouldn't have done what he did, how many Peter Daniels wouldn't have been saved? How many thousands upon thousands of people have you heard about that got saved in those crusades and stayed saved all of these years, you know? Praise God. So, how does this tie in with John 14 and the Holy Spirit? He is the one, we never did finish that verse, John 16 now is where we are. Well, He's the one that's going to bring you the Lordship of Christ. See, this is why Bible seminary very often becomes Bible cemetery. It really does, and I'm not against them. But the problem is they keep breaking the gospel down into formulas. And it's not a matter of formulas, really. It's a matter of fellowship. It's a matter of what is your relationship with the living Christ. He is alive and well. He has instructions for you. He has a mind for your family. He has a mind for your ministry. He has a mind. He is alive. You would do anything if you could get a meeting with Him, would you not? If somehow, you know, we had the heaven shuttle, a 2:40 departure, arrive in heaven, 5:15 tonight, scheduled to meet with Jesus for 1 hour at 6 o'clock, would you miss that flight? There's no way you're going to miss that flight, because if you can get 1 hour with Him, you know your whole life is going to change. Isn't that right? You can have that meeting anytime you want. It's called the Holy Ghost Express. He's the one that's supposed to do that very thing. Get you into the mind of Christ where you can receive these things that He would love to tell you, those same things that He would love to tell you, but He tells them to you by the agency of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Good stuff. All right, now, John 16:13 again. It says, "Howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth." Now, "For He shall not speak of Himself." Boy, for the longest time, I want you to back up to John 14 and look at verse 10. Because I had to get past some religion on that right there. When I first started trying to hear Him face to face, most of you know what I'm talking about, where I could hear Him clear enough to speak it into a recorder, one of the religious things that kept coming against my mind is Jesus said, the Holy Spirit's not going to speak of Himself. In other words, I took that to mean He's not going to speak about Himself. Okay? And so, I thought you were waving bye to me, but anyway. Like, go somewhere else. Yeah. But then, you know, so in other words, it was coming against my mind. Well, this can't be God, because the Holy Spirit talks about Himself in here. He'll say things like, "I am the anointing. I have been come to lead you. I this and I that." And here it says, well, the Holy Spirit, He doesn't speak of Himself. But then, thank God for praying in other tongues and meditation of the Word. If you back up to John 14, verse 10, Jesus said the identical same thing about Himself. He says, Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself. Over here He says, the Holy Spirit, He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself. Identically the same phrase, Jesus says, I speak not of myself. Jesus spoke of Himself all the time. What I mean is, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. Any man that comes not unto me. On and on and on. He talks about Himself. I am the bread of life. Unless you drink my blood and eat my flesh, you have no life in you. What He's saying is, everything I'm saying, I heard from my Father. I received it of my Father. And the Holy Spirit, everything He says to you, He received it from me. He's not come to speak on His own authority. He's not come to replace the Lordship of Christ. He has come to bring us the Lordship of Christ. Have you got that? Okay, back to John 14 now for a minute. Oh, let me finish that verse. It's good to finish a verse. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself. He's not going to speak on His own authority. But look, whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak. He's going to hear the mind of Christ for you. He's going to hear from the head of the church. There's only one head of the church. His name is Jesus. Now, He's doing everything according to the will of the Father. What the Holy Spirit hears in His presence, the Holy Spirit is now in your presence. You got that? He has come to bring you. And what He hears, that's what He's going to speak. Hallelujah. And finish the verse. And he shall show you things to come. Hallelujah. All right. Now back up to 14 for just a moment. John 14. Look at verse 16 again. I didn't get this for a long time. He says, I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you when you're exactly doing everything right. Is that what it says? No, the Holy Spirit is like a little dove. He's very skittish. He's easily offended. And if He hears you say a cuss word, He's gone like a bird, and you're on your own. Is that what it says? Now, it says, the Holy Spirit, He says, He's going to come that He may abide with you how long? I'm trying to say it enough ways where you get it. He's stuck with you. He's stuck with you. Part of His agreement, when He agreed to be the one who comes during this dispensation, He has come to abide with you forever. Now, the kind of teaching I grew up under, they would take that deal where the Holy Spirit comes like a dove. He's like a little bird. And we are told not to grieve the Holy Spirit. But, you know, the way it was taught was like, oh, He's like a little dove, man. You got to be careful. Say one little bad word, saying you lose your temper. You hear that flutter? He's gone. Did you hear those wings? He's gone, you know. And so what happens is, since none of us are perfect and we're all still on a path of transformation, you say something, you do something, you might actually, oh my God, sin. Oh, not sin, no. Maybe it's something you had thought you wasn't gonna. You never, you know. Maybe you hadn't done it in 10 years. You thought that was never gonna visit you again. Well, it visited, and you wasn't ready. Well, now what do you do? Hear that flutter? Hear those wings flapping off? You're on your own now, buddy. You may not have been an orphan before, but you're an orphan now. Well, in this face-to-face document, where He was teaching me about become aware of His presence, and this is the one that we were doing Wednesday night. And He was teaching me about the most important thing for Sue and I at the time was to spend time on purpose practicing what seemed like a game, that the Holy Spirit is with us all the time. Because if you're constantly aware that He is with you, and I mean aware, see, Charlie's my good friend back here, okay? But Charlie is a minister of the gospel. Both of them, Charlie and Shelley. Now, again, I'll deny all this. You know, let's say we just went into the Quick Trip, and I'm going to buy Charlie and Shelley a cup of coffee or something. Well, they got that magazine rack in the Quick Trip. Some of it's okay, hot rod manuals and stuff like that, you know, hot rod manual. Some of it's not so okay. You ever seen those biker covers? Okay? Now I'm 61. Now I'm telling you all, I did not always look like this. Okay? But now, you know, maybe if Charlie wasn't with me, I might walk by and, you know, of course I would never stop and open one or anything, but there's the cover and I'm just walking by to get coffee. And so, you know, part of you might linger too long on that girl on that motorcycle bike. But if Charlie's with me, I'm not even casting a glance in that direction. It will affect your holiness. So the point I'm trying to make, by the way, I don't have a big problem there. I'm trying to make an illustration, okay? I'm just trying to make, help me pick something else, God, you know? Jeez. Or I could say, okay, now, if Charlie wasn't with me, I might put 4 sugars in my coffee, you know? See, I'm just trying to make a point. I'm trying to make a point here. But it will, if Dave was walking with Charlie, it would affect Charlie's walk. You know, not that Charlie doesn't walk holy and everything anyway, but I mean, you're just a little different when somebody you really respect is right there with you. Now, if you're constantly aware that the Holy Spirit, God Himself, you do know His first name is what?
Oh, holy.
Holy. Holy. And anything unholy is not, you know, He's not real pleased with that. It's going to affect your walk, first off. Okay? But anyway, He was trying to get us into this constant awareness. But what He was really after was getting us to expect the gifts of the Spirit, because it's not you that casts out devils, really. I mean, like Dave says, after you say it, somebody still has to come and do it. Well, that's the Holy Spirit. Jesus called Him the finger of God. Chew, I like that. You're out of here. Chew, you know. So He's trying to get us to where we expect the gifts of the Spirit, because you know if the Holy Spirit's there and the gifts are given by the Spirit as He wills, well, man, you're in expectation mode. But now, here's the thing. Finally got to it. If you're in constant condemnation, and if you believe that the Holy Spirit's so skittish that every time you make any kind of little mistake at all, He just flies away like a little skittish bird, no, He's not like that at all. Right in the process of telling us, now be constantly aware that I'm with you, then He said this to me. I'm quoting now from the last page of Becoming Aware of His Presence, one of the face-to-face documents at the website. He said to me, "Think not religiously that I am only with you when your performance meets certain standards. I have been with you in your finest hour." I'm glad about that. "I have been with you in your worst. I have been sent to abide with you forever. The blood is continually available for you. It never loses its power to cleanse. The blood will never fail you. The blood will never lose its power to cleanse you and keep you in fellowship with me," says the Spirit of Grace. "I am the friend who has seen you at your worst, yet I still love you." Do we have any parents in the room? How many parents we got in the room? How many of you have seen your children at their worst, yet you still love them? You're still there to help them. You're still there, you know, to do anything you can for them. It is exactly that same relationship. Exactly. If you can keep it in a family context, you can understand it. Now, your children don't always please you all the time. My youngest one, if you met her today, you'd think all the stories, every time I've told this story, had to be a lie. Because she is the sweetest, best little mama and wife and worker for the ministry. Her name's Amanda. And I'd say, "You're right. The one you see now is not the daughter I had then." That girl died. I know where it happened. Had happened in the jail in Mays County, Jay, Oklahoma. I know where it happened. I know the week when it happened. Because up until then, she was a little rebellious. You say, "Oh, we have trouble with our teenage children." You do. What kind of trouble? "Oh, they're drinking beer, Brother Gary. They're drinking that old beer." Amanda was arrested for interstate transportation of stolen firearms. Somebody, oh my goodness, somebody. And there was just one problem with that. She did it. She was guilty. That's the problem. Arrested by the FBI in Mobile, Alabama. Brought back in one of those, the back seat of one of those cage cars for trial in Oklahoma. Talked to her and they put her in this little old jail that was built around the turn of the century in Jay, Oklahoma. And that jail, the cells are actually it's a partial basement. It's down mostly underground. It has little slits for windows up near the ceiling to let in some light. Her bed was a metal bunk that folded down from the wall. And she's going, "Daddy, get me out of here. Daddy, get me out of here." And she's my baby, see. Now, nothing about the way she'd been living for the last couple of years pleased me. Nothing. She was rebellious. She'd go opposite. If I said the sky was blue, she'd swear it was red. I mean, just, you know, I was not pleased. But did it affect my love for her?
No.
I was hurting more than she was. This is my baby. I wanted her out of, she's the youngest. I wanted her out of there more than she wanted out of there. But the problem was, when I looked in her eyes, she was repenting, all right. She was real sorry she got caught. But I could see there was no life change in there. And the Lord told me, don't you dare get her out. You leave her right there. We could have got her out. Now, I did go talk with the jailer, the sheriff, and I made sure she was going to be okay. They had her in a section. No other prisoners were with her. She was not going to be hurt or molested. Now, she was not going to get any food that she wanted, you know. She, to this day, she can't eat anything with macaroni in it. Every meal was something like mac and cheese or mac and this, you know, macaroni. And she, to this day, she didn't want anything with no macaroni in it. Okay? I had to leave her in there almost 30. I had to leave her in there almost 30 days. That's a long time. Somewhere in that 30, that last week, I have now. I'll make it. I know what her eyes were like before. Somewhere in that last week, she had a life-changing encounter with the King of Kings. When I saw her the next time, everything about her was different. Her eyes were different. Her manner was different. Her tone was different. It was genuine repentance, the kind not to be repented of. I said, honey, you're coming home with Daddy today. That began, now was it over? No. That began a long process that lasted almost another 2 years. The guy that she did that crime with got 12 years. Her records were expunged.
Hallelujah.
Took about 2 years for that to happen, and a spirit-filled lawyer and a lot of stuff that's a long story. Now the point is this. Daddy has seen Amanda at her best. Daddy has seen Amanda at her worst. The only difference in my love was I was hurting for her so bad. But by her own action, she had gotten herself out beyond where Daddy could really help her now. She made that choice. I never made it. I wanted her to stay close to Daddy. And I'd do anything I could for her, take care of her and everything, you know. But she, by her own choice, got herself kind of like the prodigal son, you know, out there eating the husk. It wasn't... He made all those choices. But boy, all he's looking for is a little repentance, you know.
Yes.
Just come home. Just don't lie to me anymore. Tell me what you did. Tell me you're sorry. And look, I'm going to put my arm right back around you. We're going to get out of this together. That's the way your Father is.
Amen.
And the Holy Spirit, He's not like a dove in the sense He's so skittish. He is that gentle. He is long-suffering with you. He is gentle with you. I don't care what slimy rock you crawled out from under. Like Dave says, don't run from the Holy Ghost, you run to it.
Amen.
Don't run from the cross, you run to the cross. And let me finish it with this. Even in the Old Testament, God Himself does not change. I want to show you His attitude towards backsliders. Go back to Jeremiah chapter 3. And see if this doesn't sound like any parent you ever knew with any child. Jeremiah chapter 3, starting in verse 12. It says, go and proclaim these words toward the north and say, return, thou backsliding Israel, saith the Lord, and I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you. For I am merciful, saith the Lord, and I will not keep anger forever. Only acknowledge thine iniquity. Tell the truth about it, see? Every parent, just don't lie to me. Tell me what you did. Be honest. Acknowledge thine iniquity that thou hast transgressed against the Lord thy God. And you've scattered your ways to the strangers under every green tree, and have not obeyed my voice, saith the Lord. Turn, O backsliding children. See that? Children, saith the Lord. For I am married unto you, and I will take you one of a city and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion. And I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. We could go on. Is that not great? Does that sound like any parent you ever knew? Now, my dad always told me, he said, boy, it's always boy. Boy, tell you what, if you do something, get in trouble at school, when you get home now, no matter what, if, in those days the teachers could spank you. Now, if you really did it, he says, when you get home, if they spanked you, I won't. unless I find out you lie to me about it. But now if you lie to me about it, their spanking isn't going to be enough. I'm going to give you a spanking you'll never forget. Only acknowledge. Only acknowledge. Genuine repentance. I'm sorry. That's what the Holy Spirit needs. He doesn't need us to be taking 2 or 3 weeks groveling around, or the devil, you know, feeding you lies that the Holy Spirit has now left you because you somehow lost your temper or committed something maybe kind of serious. Only acknowledge what you did. Be quick to acknowledge it. Tell the truth to Daddy. Be genuine repentance. And God, help me not do that anymore. And I mean, that Holy Spirit, He was there the whole time. But now you'll be aware of His presence again. Is that good stuff or what? Hallelujah. Something I just saw it so clear. I don't know why I didn't say it earlier. I told you about my daughter Amanda having that life-changing encounter during that fourth week. Can you get saved without the Holy Ghost? Can you be regenerated in spirit? So who was in the jail cell with her? Who was in the jail cell with her? The Holy Spirit was there, wasn't He? The Holy Spirit was there. That is so good. He's with you too. He's actually with you under the slimy rock. I've seen conviction come on drunks. Don't tell me He's not there. But I've never had another drink since 1980, so I didn't want to give the wrong idea there. Okay? But there's other things I've worked on. The Holy Spirit's been with me. But He was there. That's the point. See, I don't know why I didn't say that. You can't get regenerated. You can't go from death to life without the Holy Spirit. He was there in the jail cell with my. He's not like some little dove in the sense of being all skittish. He is actually the toughest individual I have ever met. And He loves you more than anybody. And He is with you. That's good stuff.